Okay, there we go. Right. So I didn't continue with anything specific before it ended. So God, clearly, the one thing that has been like ringing in my ears, I literally for the last few days, I've been hearing this like zing in my ear, like there's a bell that's ringing in my ear. At some point, I thought there was a bee around me or something because I was getting so irritated with the zzzz in my ear. And I was like, what is it? But when I heard that zinging, the thing that kept resonating in my spirit was God saying that the church has lost its vision. And I was like, okay, God. And I've been praying since last week. And I asked God, what is it you want me to say concerning vision and releasing vision? And it's like God was not pleased. Like, he wasn't smiling when I was talking to him. He wasn't, not that he was upset with me, but God was so serious about his vision and the fact that it's not been taken seriously, and especially by his people, by the bride, by the church, by the body. We are supposed to be setting an example for the unbelievers, for those who don't believe, for those, you know, who are just flying by and going with the flow. But we are not. And that is what God told me. He said the church has lost its vision. And God said that we are not focused on doing God's will or God's plan. We are working, but we are doing the good plan. So it looks good, it sounds good, it feels good, but it's not God. And it's not God's heart, it's not God's will for the now. And God said that repentance needs to come for that, for placing our visions and what looks good and feels good and sounds good above God's vision, which is also good, but it's better than what is good. And then God started just, you know, playing some things through my mind. No vision means no provision. So if there's no vision, if we don't know what we're working towards, God's not going to give us anything to help us, because then it's like God's just giving us handouts, like these freebies. And that's not God's heart for us. God wants to give us the best. He wants us to tell him, Lord, this is what I want. This is what I desire. This is the vision you've given me. This is what you told me to do, and I'm doing it. So, Lord, I'm calling in A, B, and C. So if we don't have a vision, God's not going to give the provision. Number two, no vision means no direction. So if there's no vision, you're going to take any road going wherever. You're not going to care where it's going. You're not going to care with who it's going, but you're just going to follow because you don't have a vision for yourself. So you're just going to go along with it. And I don't know who of you have heard this quote before, but there's this quote or this saying that says, if you don't have your own dream, you will end up building someone else's dream for the rest of your life. And that really spoke volumes to me, because it's like God is saying, if you don't have a vision, if you don't know where you're going, you're just going to go with what everyone else is doing because it feels lekker and it looks like fun and it looks safe and it looks secure. And that's okay. You'll be happy. You know, you'll be fine. But you're not going to be where you're supposed to be. You're not going to be blessed like you're supposed to be blessed. You're not going to have everything God promised in his perfect will. You're going to be in his permissible will, and he's going to allow you to do things and to do the good and whatever, but it's not going to give you the rewards and the benefits that comes with God's vision for your life. No vision means no purpose. So if I've got no vision, it means I'm going to have no purpose. I'm going to have no drive. I'm not going to be motivated. I'm not going to have a good attitude about anything, because there's no vision attached to it. So it's going to be like this weight hanging on my shoulders that's gonna feel all heavy and you're gonna moan and you're gonna pull faces like because you're not happy. You don't know where you're going. There's no purpose for your life. So obviously you're going to end up being miserable. But the moment you've got the vision and your purpose is there and you've got your drive and your motivation, you're going to wake up energized. You're going to feel energized. You're going to want to do whatever it is. You're going to want to motivate yourself continually. You're going to want to motivate others, which has a ripple effect. Like I was just saying now before I started with Stuart, this morning we spoke and just our conversation resulted in a ripple effect of happiness and joy, which I then poured and it overflowed and it went on to the kids and it went, and there was just this whole happy vibe and stuff at work simply because of one person, you know, being motivated, being happy and joyful and whatever, and sharing that to others. Well, he didn't even have to share it with me. It was on him. It was like this thing that was just hanging on him. So it's like it was impossible not to tap into that, not to want that. And that is how, you know, vision affects us. If you've got that vision, you've got that drive, you are going to look like someone who's got everything all together. And when people look at you, they're going to be like, I want to be like that person who's got all their stuff together. They've got all their ducks in a row. And whether it's true or not, just by you knowing where you are headed and having that purpose, it will look like everything is in place. And because it will look like that, it produces something that's released into the atmosphere so that the manifestation of everything being all together will actually fall into place. And also the other one was no vision means no mission. Just like the direction and the purpose, if you don't know what your vision is, you are not going to fulfill your mission. Because you're not going to know where you're going. You're not going to know who you're supposed to be with, what you're supposed to be doing. So it's just going to be like, you're just there. God is saying that it's time to get back to basics. We need to go before the throne and we need to ask God. Not us specifically. Well, we are part of the body, so us as well. But this is for the church, for the body. God is saying we need to go back to Him, to His feet. We need to go sit and we need to ask God, God, what is your vision? What is on your heart right now? And what do we need to do in order for that to manifest? Where God gives vision, God will provide the provision. And if we do what the vision instructs, we will see the manifestation. As we know, visions are not constrained to time. Our visions can manifest in any time, on any day, at any occasion. Maybe sometimes God gives a time limit, and sometimes it doesn't. But it's important for us to remember not to take a vision and go and place it in a box and on a timeline that suits us. We really need to go and ask God, Lord, okay, you gave this vision. What's the timeline for it? And if God says it's not for now, it's for a couple of years, then you say, okay, Lord, so what do I do about it? Do I need to put it away? Do I need to sow? Do I need to ask God what you need to do with the vision? And God will lead you. It's important for us to walk out the vision that God gives us, which would create our mission, which would allow God to give us the provision, because we can't just sit around with the vision. It's not going to work itself. Visions has power, but it doesn't have a body. It's not going to get up and go walk and go find this and go find that. We need to do the physical work. We need to do something to action and to show God, this is what I'm doing. This is me plowing and sowing into the vision. And I need you as my father to accompany me and to guide me and to walk with me and to provide for me and to cover me and to intercede for me and do whatever it is we need. You know, so many of us, as individuals, but also as a ministry, as a church, we are sitting and we are so full of vision. God literally showed me how we are sitting, and it's like we are overflowing. We're sitting there and there's so much vision stored up inside of us that it's coming out of our ears, but it's like popping out, it's blowing out of our brains. But God showed me how we are actually disrespecting God in a manner of God gives us a vision. Why? Because God trusts us to fulfill that vision. God thinks and believes that we are capable to fulfill that vision, but we in ourselves think, no, Lord, you must be wrong. I won't be able to fulfill that vision. I won't be able to complete that mandate, so I'm not even going to try. I'm just going to take that vision and tuck it into a nice envelope, and I'm going to put it there, and I'm going to slide it under the pillow, and I'm just going to leave it there. But, you know, it's a cool vision, and I like to dream about it, but it's not for me. You know, it's like, I need this little, you know, no, Lord. And God showed me that we are actually disrespecting what God thinks of us. God's not going to give Prof's vision for her life to me, because God knows I maybe can't even handle what the vision is for Prof's life, for her personal life. God's not going to give my personal life vision to Karin. Karin's the opposite of me. Karin's not going to like the things I like. She's not going to want to do the things that I like to do. So God gives us a specific vision in line to what our destinies are, in line to what God created us, of who God created us to be and what he created us to do. And so we really need to go back and repent and apologize to God for thinking we know better and for disrespecting him and saying, you know what, Lord, I think you missed it. I know myself. I won't be able to do that. When God, the maker of heaven and earth, thought, you can do this. I'm giving you this vision because you can do it. I believe you can do it. I created you to do that thing. So now you need to do it. And then we go and tell God, oh, well, you know, we really need to go and we need to repent and ask God's forgiveness. And we need to step into that vision that God has given us for our lives, for your workplace, for the ministry, for whatever God gave you. You need to step into that vision. You need to own it. You need to claim it. And you need to work in it. For our vision, God showed me that we have to sacrifice something or do something that will fuel the atmosphere over the vision so it can be engineered to keep going. God showed me this vision, and it was the church. So it was multitudes of people, and they were like walking like sloppy, and their shoulders were hanging on the floor, and they looked grumpy and irritable. And God was saying, my church is tired. And I said, I know, Lord, because, you know, I'm sure that all of us can say we feel the same way. We feel tired. And I was asking God, like, why is it that we feel that way? I mean, it's the beginning of the year, and already we feel like, you know, this is too much, like, we can't deal. And I was asking God, why is it that we are feeling that way? And God said, we as the church, as the body, caused our own exhaustion. God didn't cause it. The devil didn't cause it. We caused it. And I asked, why? How, Lord? And God said, because we didn't ask God, and we don't ask God for a vision. So we go, and we go do our own thing, and like I said, it looks right, it sounds good, but actually we're just buffering the atmosphere. We're not shifting anything because there's no clear depiction of what we want to see shift, what we want to see break forth, or what we want to see being birthed. And because we can't see it, we can't perceive it, we can't claim it, we can't own it. And we are just fighting the air. We're fighting the enemy, and the enemy actually thinks it's really funny because it's like we're going into this war, blindsided. We don't know where we're going. We don't know where we're fighting. But we're going. We're full force. We're like, Lord, send us. And we're like, yeah. And we're running there and doing our war cry. Like, oh, and we're chanting and whatever, whatever. But we don't know where we're going. And the enemy is taking us for the joke. And he's like, literally, like, he's like yo-yoing with us. So he's going this way and he's going that way and he's going here and he's going there. And he's tiring us out. But it's because we are not asking God, what is your vision? What do we need to do? And God said, that is how we are causing our own exhaustion. And so God said, you know, we need to get off our high horses. And I was like, okay, Lord. And I went and I repented and I said, Lord, I'm sorry for where I placed my vision above your vision, where I placed my vision above the ministry's vision, where I placed my vision above my workplace's vision. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to get off that horse. And God said, when we get off that horse, we need to stop. We need to breathe, first of all. And then we need to ask God, where, how, and when. And then, when God gives us the when, how, and when, because we already have the vision, and we can now see clearly, we can then go forth and be effective and successful in our mission and in our mandate. So now, you know, we are all part of Prophetic Edge, or we are all in some way associated with Prophetic Edge. And I just want to mention, I'm not going to go into too much detail about it, but I just want to mention what we stand for, the vision that God gave for Prophetic Edge. So the first one is unity in the body, according to Ephesians 4. The second one is to light and fan the fires of revival, according to the book of Acts. The third is to bring in the harvest of souls in the end times, and that is in Joel 2 and Romans 13, verse 11. And then the fourth one is to raise an army, according to Ezekiel 37. And the fifth one is to stand and support Israel. Right. So I asked God, okay, why are we going back to Prophetic Edge's vision? And God showed me that we really need to pray tonight for that vision to be awakened in our hearts, in our minds, in our spirits. For those of us who are sons of Prophetic Edge, if we are truly, truly, truly sons of Prophetic Edge, this vision needs to be like a burden to us. It needs to be alive in us. It needs to be in our hearts. It needs to be something that we really carry and that really, you know, weighs on us, especially when it's not being fulfilled. We need to be crying out for those things. We need to be fanning and setting the fires for the Bible. We need to be bringing in the harvest, which is what we spoke about the other night, while Kisa was on. But, you know, we need to be doing those things that is part of our vision. And if we are not, and we don't feel anything for that, and we don't feel like this attachment to that vision, then something's not right. God clearly told me that it's really important for us to get prayer specifically for the vision back into the ministry. It is our responsibility. God said it's not Prof's responsibility. It is our responsibility as sons and daughters to pray the vision into manifestation. We do see the manifestation of it. Obviously, we know now that we don't have any events and stuff like that happening, but God said we don't have to have events or conferences or Prof traveling for the vision to manifest itself. The vision, we as the sons and daughters, as the representation of Prophetic Edge, can go out and actually manifest the vision wherever we are. Whether it be at your workplace, whether it be in a shopping mall, whether it be wherever, we need to be pursuing and chasing and like doing whatever it is we can to ensure that this vision is manifested in the earth. God also said that it's our responsibility to help Prof carry this vision. God said, God placed us here, sons and daughters, not because he just wants us to fill up space, for us to waste Prof's time, for us to just be here and to talk nonsense. God said we are here to fulfill a mandate, we are here to fulfill and to manifest the vision. And our destinies is aligned to the vision. So we all have different destinies, but in some other way, we are pulled in a certain direction pertaining to the vision of the Prophetic Edge. There's something that is like pulling us, that is calling out into our spirits or under our spirits, you know, like that you can feel that burning sensation, you can feel that awakening within yourself, and that is your focus area of the vision, which is aligned to your destiny that you need to be manifesting, you and me. And then the other thing God said we need to pray for is for the bride, for the church to get a vision back. Our nation is in distress. Why? Because there's no vision. Our president, the people in authority currently are so dear makar. It's like they've got scrambled egg in their brain. They don't know where to turn because it's like they're looking to go in this direction and then poof, a fire breaks out. And then they want to go in this direction and then poof, a fire breaks out. And it's like this constant attacks, because there's no clear vision. Because number one, they did not go to God, or they're not listening to godly authority. They're turning away from God instead. And because they are turning away from God, it has repercussions. It has an effect. And the scripture that I got pertaining to that was in Hosea 4, 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Now, as Prof is saying, we really need to pray for our nation. We really need to pray for godly counsel and for a man of God or woman of God that serves the Lord to come and lead our country, to lead our nation, and to turn it from the mess that it's currently in. The other thing, besides the nation being in distress, no vision causes division. I'm sure we've all heard Prof say this. And I was just reminded of that again today. When there's no vision, everybody's going to want to run with their own thing. Everybody's going to want to bring up their idea and their plan and their this and their that. And we're going to get frustrated with one another because we're not all working towards the same goal. We're not working together to achieve something. And so because of that, there's going to be division, there's going to be fighting, there's going to be arguments, there's going to be a split, because there's no vision. We don't know what we're working towards. So instead of working together, we're fighting each other. And that is not God's will or God's plan for us, for the ministry, for the nation, for anything pertaining to our lives. Vision needs to be restored, then implemented, and then it will manifest. So, just a few tips for us. And those will be listening. Go to God, get your vision, put structures in place to manifest that vision. Go and meditate on that vision. Water the vision in prayer, in fasting, and whatever God tells you to do. Some of us will need to go and fast. Some of us will need to sow financially. Some of us will need to sow time. Some of us will need to sacrifice something in order to gain something. And if God gives you a vision and he directs you to doing a prophetic act that is connected to that vision, don't be disobedient and not do it. God's not going to make you do something to make you look like a fool. God's going to give you something because he wants you to prosper. He wants you to walk in that thing. He wants to give you the fulfillment of that thing. So if God, for example, says, Let me give an example. God says, you know, someone's getting a new car and God wants you to go to a motor shop and actually just go and view a car and get in it and get the feel, then do that thing. Even if it sounds crazy, even if it sounds just really like absurd and like, Lord, why am I doing this? Like, I'm not going to buy the car. But if God says go and do that, then be obedient and go and do that. Who knows? You're going to that motor shop and stepping into that car. Someone might just walk up to you and say, you know what, I would like to buy this car for you. But if you were not obedient and you missed what God said and you decided you're going to do your own thing and not follow the vision, you're going to miss your blessing. You're going to miss the manifestation of that vision. So if God gives you a prophetic act, if God gives you instructions to do whatever, just be obedient. Follow those instructions and do it. When you see the vision, perceive it and receive it. And yeah, so that is basically my teaching. So I think we can pray for those things that I mentioned. But I just want Prof to say something before we pray. So Prof, you can speak.
No, I think we need to wrap up, baby. We've been on this call for quite long.
Okay.
It's okay.
Okay. Okay, can everybody just unmute themselves and then we'll just pray together and yeah. Okay, let's just all pray in tongues for a few minutes and then I'll end off in prayer.
Okay, guys, I'm going to take over for a minute and just lead this prayer time. So, because we're focusing on vision, I want you guys to activate the seer's anointing. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the vision that you've given Prophetic Edge, and I thank you for the vision that you've given us as individuals. Thank you, Father, for the words of Habakkuk. Write the vision down. Though it tarry, wait for it, for it shall surely come. Thank you, Father God, for the vision that you've given Prophetic Edge. Father, we count it a privilege that you have called us to be a ministry to bring awakening to nations. You've called us, Father, to be a John the Baptist ministry, preparing the way of the Lord. You've called us, Father, to be a ministry, blowing the shofar and releasing what the direction that you're wanting the church to go in and what you are saying to the body of Christ at this time. And I pray, Father, that the seer's anointing will increase over this ministry, over myself and every member of the team. Father God, I thank you. 2020 is the year of increased vision, and we will decree what we see. And I ask right now in the name of Jesus that the revelatory realm will open up. Spirit, the seven spirits of God will come, specifically the spirit of illumination, the spirit of wisdom, counsel, and understanding, that you will open up and fine-tune our eyesight to 2020 vision, that not only will we see perfectly, that we will be able to see from extended distances, that we will be able to see, Father, from a global perspective, from an eagle perspective, Father, that whereas before we would only see one component of the vision, lift our eyesight to a higher dimension, my God. We break out our rebaka, rabaka, that we will be able to see a global perspective, so that we will be able to see a 360-degree viewpoint of the vision of this ministry, of the vision of heaven, of the vision for our lives, of the vision for our ministries, our businesses, our careers, our Father, our finances, our marriages, our families. Father, Holy Spirit, I ask right now in the name of Jesus, every one of you, lay your hands on your eyeballs. Every one of you, lay your hands on your eyes right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I activate the seer's anointing. I thank you that this is the year, Father, that you are increasing the seer's anointing. Father, we contend, the word of God tells us that we need to desire earnestly the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we desire a greater seer's ability. The seer's anointing is not for prophets, it's for any child of God, Father. And I pray right now in Jesus' name that your spiritual eyes are open now in Jesus' name. Amen. That even though you have been seeing visions, that your vision acuity is increased to a higher dimension now in Jesus' name. I decree and declare that God lifts you to a higher dimension of acuity in the spirit. Let your fire come upon eyesight now in the name of Jesus. Fine tune our sight. We need to see higher, Holy Ghost. We need to see higher, Holy Spirit. I ask that you pull us through the door of Revelation 4 verse 1. Rest katala bo rebete. Ribas kataya. Rebos release holy fire right now. Release the blue flame right now, Father. See, Brenda, I pray for your spiritual eyesight to be tuned right now. I pray for the lens and the filters of your spiritual eyesight to be cleansed by holy fire, so that your fleshly perspective will not influence your spiritual eyesight. In the name of Jesus, I cut off any attachment between your soul that would influence your spiritual eyesight in Jesus' name. Father, if there's any of us who have been tapping into our soulish dimension, into vain imagination, into second realm visions, I cut it off right now, and I decree and declare that the fire of the Holy Ghost would purify the stream of eyesight. Res kataya la boski and la bas kataya. And the Spirit of the Lord would say to you tonight, pure water cannot come from a polluted well. If you're living in sin, if you've got a habit that you know grieves the Holy Ghost, if your behaviors, if anything in your life is contrary to what the word says, then your prophetic oil and visions are not pure. Cannot come. Pure water cannot come from a polluted well. I don't know why God's saying this right now, but I'm going to be obedient. Pure water cannot come from a polluted well. If your life is not right with God, then it is highly likely that the visions and prophecies that you are releasing is not coming from a pure source. It is very possible for a prophet and even a prophetic people to begin to see and hear from the second well and not the third well if their lives are not in alignment. And God is releasing, God is releasing a plumb line in the earth right now, especially to the prophets and the prophetic people. And God is calling us to come to consecration. He's calling us to come to holy living. He's calling us to come to intimacy, so that the value and the purity of the oil that flows through our sight and our prophetic vision and our hearing and even the Navi prophecy would be pure, saith the Lord. So I'm going to give you a warning. Guard yourself from just receiving prophecies from people whose lives are not pure. The gift of God is without repentance, and it will flow anytime. But the fact that you can prophesy, see visions, and the Nabi prophecy flows and dream does not mean that your well is pure. So not only do we have to be careful about our well being pure and us living a life of holiness before we release to the body of Christ, you also need to be careful who you allow to speak into your life, because this is the decade of decree and of speaking. So don't allow people to speak into your life and pray and lay hands on you if their lives are not consecrated and pure. And I just sense that that is what the Holy Ghost is saying right now. It is, you know, you can pick up prophets who are dime a dozen out there. Once you've been activated in the ability to see, in the ability to prophesy, it is easy for you to begin to release, but your life isn't pure. Your life isn't holy. Lord, I don't know where this is coming from, but just roll through me, God, because I am your vessel and you are calling us, Father. You're calling for the Samuel anointing, you're calling for the Davidic anointing, you're calling for an Elijah anointing, you're calling for intimacy, you're calling for consecration, you're calling for holiness, Lord. And I pray that your fire, that the blue flame of the Holy Spirit, purge anything in our sight, in our hearing, and in our speaking that is not pure. In the name of Jesus. Let us not be, Father, like those prophets who were not recognized by heaven. But, Father, let us be those that when we begin to open up our mouth, hell trembles because of the weight of the glory on every word we release, because our lives have been consecrated as unto the Lord. This is a warning. I don't know why God's making me say this. But be careful, your prophetic gift, your healing gift, your preaching gift means nothing unless your life is consecrated and holy. Because you can be polluting the anointing by whatever is on the inside of you. Unless you've been delivered, unless you've been set free, and unless you're living a life of intimacy. And this is not just for the people on this platform. I believe God is allowing me to announce this as a global message. Because he's calling for a consecrated prophetic company right now. The sort of prophets God's raising now is not going to tell you getting married and he's going to give you a car. They're going to start speaking about what's going to hit nations. They're going to start speaking that even before judgment